Glory to Jesus Christ. And blessed feast day to you all. This is one of those days where there's an awful lot going on right here. And it gives us a wonderful opportunity to take a look at what a difficult time we human beings have with really seeing what's clearly in front of us. So what do we see that's so clearly in front of us? Well, one of the things that by now has drifted into the background, because we know that when something is new, we notice it and then it's done. And that happens seasonally for us, right? So the green table covers came on back in the season of Pentecost when that began, and they're still here. But because they've been here for 4 or 5 weeks, we don't quite notice them. They're here throughout the summer, and they show a kind of summer season look in that they are green. And then we have the blue that we see in the lights that has just popped up this week, because this is the week that the Dormition Fast has begun. So in seasons of the Virgin Mary, of the Theotokos, blue would be one of those colors that might appear around us, that we might take note of. And then you notice that the cross is up there, and some of you might be wondering, why is the cross up there? Wasn't there last week? Well, between last week and this week, on August 1st, we celebrated the procession of the cross, which is a commemoration of a procession that would take place in Constantinople during a time of the year in the summer when things were probably hot and sweaty and people, the germs were running crazy and people were getting sick all the time. So they would bring the cross through the city streets and it would be up in the church until the feast of the Dormition of the Theotokos, praying for our good health. And then there's also, as we know today, because we are here on a great feast of the church, one of the 12 great feast days. I wonder how many of us can still name them from our church school days. The Holy Transfiguration, the icon, the big icon of which sits right over there next to the bishop's throne in the corner. So that is there. Probably a number of us came in having forgotten that we were celebrating a great feast of the church today. And then during Matins, which very few of us were here to hear, we heard of the canon of the cross, which is already pointing us toward the direction of the feast of the elevation of the cross, whose icon is right there. And so we have already begun today to sing that, and we're already looking over that horizon to see that feast coming. And then we're also here, and some of us particularly are here, because we remember that it is the 40-day memorial today that we will be celebrating of the departing, of the falling asleep in the Lord of our choir master, Claudia Stephanie. So we are praying for her. And then we can go into all the other kinds of things, because those are just a few of what we might know as kind of a community. Kinds of consciousness and observations that we could make. But then we go into all of our own, which can know things like a text message I got from somebody the other day who I haven't spoken to probably for 5 years, who said, "Oh my goodness, Father John, in 5 years we're going to be 70. You know, those kinds of things are also part of us. Now, this is a feast, though, where we're talking about what we see, because we hear one where the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were taken up to the mountain, and they behold something quite marvelous, something quite otherworldly. And we, when we look at this whole matter of sight, as I've just said, in 2 minutes, I enumerated at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 things that we might be seeing here just as the church. And all of us have come in here with all other kinds of things that we're seeing, whether it be my friend's acknowledgement of how close we're getting to being old people. However, you know, that's not, and we are unique in that kind of a way. Because what we find is that what we see is not what we get. In fact, what we see is one of those items that we all think we know what we see, and we all see that we see things clearly, and we all imagine that the world is as we notice it. But we human beings are totally unique in that we don't see things as they are at all. We've mostly probably heard the saying that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. You know, I thought of my, well, because I think of my dog a lot. So, you know, there's a cartoon of a dog and his master. They're sitting with their backs to us. I might have mentioned this in a funeral, sermon before. And so the dog is sitting there, and the master is sitting here, and they're both looking toward the horizon, and there's a beautiful sunset. And it shows the bubble over the dog's head, and it shows the exact same picture, the sunset and the horizon. And then it shows the bubbles over the man's head, which is all the stuff that's going on in his life. And that, brothers and sisters, is what we are up against. And we're up against it in a fashion that is truly horrendous. We look at the world in which we live. A couple things that I noticed yesterday, the statistic on the last 9 years of how for young teenage and young women, the suicide rate has risen almost 50% from 9 years ago. And for our young men of that same age group, the rate has risen about 30-35%. We look at something as simple as that, and we know that something very wrong is going on in our heads. Because we know that these people are not simply a rare flare-up of some kind of clinical and chemical matters. And again, I would not at all deny the reality of the chemical aspect of depression. But no, unfortunately, what we have is people whose psychology, which is that other huge part of why we're depressed. Sometimes it's affected by the chemistry, but so often it's just affected by our sick, bad thinking. And the culture as we live in is so sick, so off track, so scattered, so fragmented, so ugly, so nasty, so dark, so hopeless, that we are up against something truly great when we try and contemplate even a feast of the church like this. Because probably were most of us walking through the woods on that day and had something occurred like Peter, James, and John beheld, we would probably just rub our eyes really hard, maybe share it with our doctors or our counselors or our psychiatrists and say, you know what, I think I'm on the edge of a breakdown because I saw some things in the woods that I just can't believe. But as Orthodox Christians, we can hark back to, if we're old enough, if we're almost 70 or beyond that, we can remember that there were times when these feasts of the church, because we had not yet been introduced to a world that believed nothing, that we would have believed the accounts that we hear in the gospel, that we would have believed the lives of the saints that we hear given to us on a daily basis, that we would have been enlivened and fulfilled and satisfied and seen the light of God shining in all these things of the church. But little by little, as the decades have gone by, as the smartness of, and we have to own up to it, fellow baby boomers, the smartness of our generation to want to change the world. Ah, that what a great song that was, right? Well, we have. And in our hubris and in our pride, we've turned it into something not to be proud of, not to be very happy with. But we, who are as Christians, know that there is never anything that will occur in our lives that we ought to feel downtrodden or lost about. So our question gets to be, when we look at times like these, when we consider what's going on in our own heads, when we look at what is missing that might have been there in the heads of the generations that came before us, not because they were any better people than we are, but because they lived in different times. They lived in cultures that fed them of good emotional and spiritual things to a higher degree than us, and they also had the blessing of shorter lives that forced them to look and to desire to look up. So, what do we do? Well, as I finish off many, you know, of the sermons that you'll hear from me, at some point we have to say, you know what? I don't like what's in my head. I don't want to be so caught up and anxious and worried, you know, and focused on things that are so dark. No, I want to see God's light. I would like to believe that the transfigured Christ is the image of me, not that far down the road, that I will come to experience myself as an immortal divine being created for participation in the wondrous life of the Creator of all that is. That'll take us a lot of work. We've spent decades on the gentle slide to being able to be described as I've just touched on a little this morning. It's taken us a really long time to get here. But if we are fortunate enough to look and say, wow, look where we have arrived, then we are also capable of changing what's up here by God's grace, because we are made that way. Because as creative beings, we get to choose absolutely what goes on in here by what we gaze on, by what we pay attention to, by what we read, by what we watch on TV, by all those kinds of things of how we spend our time. Well, if we take control of that aspect of our calendars, and there we do have control. Oh, the things that happen in our lives, no, 95% of them, we have no control over. But what goes on up here, what we choose to pay attention to and not pay attention to, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to want to grow in ourselves, is absolutely up to us. So it starts there. It starts with us looking at each moment that we might ask ourselves the question, what are you paying attention to? And our church tells us to do what? To always be mindful of God. She gives us something as simple as the 12 words in English of the long version of the Jesus Prayer for us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. How much simpler does life get? How in terms of instruction and direction, how much simpler can it be than pay attention to those words? Let them grow and expand in you. Let them take you where life will go. Because if we do that consistently, moment by moment, day to week, to month, to year, to decade, we will be changed into the kinds of people who, should we then again wander by some miracle in the woods, would actually be able to fall on our faces too in wonder and glory at what we're beholding. So let us pray that we continue to struggle to take note of these things. And should it take the world getting worse for us to be able to really hit our knees that way, then so be it, Lord, that we may open our own eyes and be kind of caught up in really what's going on around us, truly and in our hearts and in our souls, so that we may too be transfigured to the glory of God and to the salvation of our souls. Amen.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace.
Wisdom, that guarded always by thy might, we may ascribe glory unto thee, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen. No one whose bound desires the flesh, the flesh is worthy to approach it, draw nigh to serve thee, O King of glory, for to serve thee is a great and fearful thing, even to the heavenly powers. Nevertheless, the nine unspeakable and boundless love for mankind, God is become man. Yet without change or alteration, his master of all, does take the name of our high priest and deliver unto us the ministry of his liturgical and bloody sacrifice. For thou alone, O Lord our God, rulest over those who have been born, 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 set upon the people of Israel, who alone art holy and rest in the holy place. Wherefore I implore thee, who alone art good and dark for any to listen, look down upon me, the sinner, by the prophet, which ever will cleanse my soul and my heart from evil conscience. By the power of the Holy Spirit, enable me, who am imbued with the grace of the feast, to stand before this the holy table, and perform the sacred mystery of thy holy and make the body and precious blood. For I draw near unto thee, and bow my neck, I pray thee, turn not thy face from me, neither cast me out from among thy servants, but thy servant is each and every day, and I do this to thy servant. For thou hast ever he that offers and offer that accepts and receives freely from Christ our God. And unto thee we ascribe glory together with thine unoriginal Father, thine all holy and good life, human spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.